program will be broadcast on the FM radio broadcast band at 101.5 and 106.1 for the hearing impaired. Those needing this provision may use a small portable FM radio with earphones to receive the entire program. Again, the frequency is 101.5 and 106.1. This next announcement is in regard to the use of cell phones and pagers. We recommend that all cell phones and pagers either be turned off or put on silent mode during the sessions in order not to disturb our brothers. Convenient seating on the ground floor level will be reserved for elderly brothers and sisters, and areas will be set aside for the disabled and those requiring wheelchair access. Wheelchair areas are located at the bottom of most sections as you enter the arena. Please ask any attendant for assistance in this regard. Lawn or other special chairs are discouraged. In order to help defray costs for our convention and in the interest of ecology, we are recycling aluminum cans. Please completely empty your drink cans in the containers provided before disposing of them in the proper receptacles. Also, no trash should be put in the receptacles set aside for aluminum cans. Information desks are located on the ground level near both the west and south entrances. If you need assistance in locating convention departments, please visit the information desk nearest your location. Special areas have been reserved for nursing mothers. These can be found in two locations, both the ground level directly behind the stage under sections 111 and 112, and on the upper level west concourse opposite section 206. For the complete privacy of our sisters, we ask that no brother, not even husband, enter the nursing mother's room. If you have lost any Bibles, songbooks, or other items, then please check with the Lost and Found Department on the building south side near upper level near section 201. Congregation secretaries, please stop by Lost and Found sometime today before you leave to pick up items that belong to brothers in your respective congregations. These items will no longer be available after 2 months. According to current tax laws, anyone making a contribution of $250 or more in cash, checks, or property on a specific date must have an acknowledgement letter in order to claim a tax deduction on his tax return. Anyone wishing to make such a contribution and claim a tax deduction should go to the convention administration office on the floor level, west side of the arena, room 144, and you will be given an acknowledgement letter upon making the donation. Each of us has an opportunity to share the joy of making voluntary offerings as encouraged in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Contribution boxes are located throughout this facility for those who would like to support the worldwide preaching work in this important way. Please note that all contributions made toward the worldwide work of Jehovah's Witnesses are cared for by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania. In view of this, it would be appreciated if those who contribute by check would make their checks payable to Watchtower, written as two words. You may be seated. Independence is widely sought out after in today's world. Many consider it as an achievement, but there is a form of independence that is truly a curse. What is it, and how can we reject it? Pay close attention as Brother Lon Squires of the Jacinto City Congregation in Houston speaks on the theme, Accept Jehovah's Authority, Reject an Independent Spirit.
After enjoying over 2 days of our district convention,
Everyone here, no doubt, feels just as the psalmist David did. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the psalmist's words at the 133rd Psalm, and let's start at the very beginning of that psalm and see if you don't agree with his opinion here. He says this. He says, "Look how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Jumping down to 3, he says that it is like the dew of Hermon that is descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there Jehovah commanded the blessings to be, even life to times indefinite. Well, yes, we've been here at the convention enjoying the refreshment, the encouraging counsel, the international sense of family here, the faith and love displayed, and the chance to receive counsel about appreciating and obeying Jehovah's sovereign rule. In a way, it's sort of been like having our own little mini paradise for a few days with about 6,000 or so of our closest friends. But sadly, tomorrow we have to return to our daily lives, that daily routine which includes the many pressures and anxieties that can weigh us down. We face issues and temptations that challenge Jehovah's authority, and if left unchecked, could manifest in us as an independent spirit, and we certainly don't want that to happen. There are a few specific areas in particular that we're going to mention as examples of this. One is a lack of respect for the divine institutions set up by Jehovah. Well, we don't look too far to see a problem with that one today. How about the divine institution of marriage? We know 1 Corinthians 7:27 warns against seeking a release from our mate. And we also know a familiar scripture that tells us that Jehovah hates a divorcing. And yet, look around. A person marrying today in the world is at a 50% chance, if you just look at the numbers, of experiencing a divorce. 50%, yes, half of all marriages end in divorce today. How sad that is. The vast majority of these divorces happen after one or sometimes both mates look outside their marital arrangement for satisfaction or fulfillment. The danger of this is well reflected in Jesus' counsel there at Matthew 5, the 28th verse. Turn with me there to the 5th chapter of Matthew and notice his warning to ones. At 5:28, in fact, let's back up to get the context of his counsel to verse 27. Jesus says this at 5:27. He says, "You heard it was said, you must not commit adultery." But now go on in verse 28 and he takes it a step further. He says there, "But I say to you that everyone that keeps on looking at a woman so as to have a passion for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So it's not enough not to just do the physical act. We don't want to form that longing. We don't want to form intimate associations or close friendships with members of the opposite sex, be it at school, work, or anywhere else, including on the internet. Such a word of caution for us. Young ones, too, have areas of concern that they have to worry about. Some young ones see their contemporaries in the world going through life seemingly just carefree, not a care in the world, as it were, with few, if any, boundaries whatsoever set up by their parents. These desires, as the Bible calls them, incidental to youth, can exert great pressure on our teenagers. Many begin to read, Jehovah's laws are just too heavy, too burdensome perhaps. Well, parents, if I asked you, does your child love Jehovah? Every hand would go up, yes, of course my child loves Jehovah. Well, with that in mind, let's look at 1 John, the 5th chapter, 3rd verse. If your child truly loves Jehovah, his expressions will be similar to this. And John tells us there in 1 John 5:3, says, "For this is what the love of God means, that we observe his commandments. But then pause there for a moment, and it doesn't just say to observe his commandments. It adds a little something. It says that we observe his commandments, and yet his commandments are not burdensome. So we observe them joyfully. We appreciate those commandments. So how are our children doing? Do they love Jehovah? Do they appreciate those reminders, those commandments? Well, hopefully so. If not, perhaps that's an area we need to work on. But you know, it's not just young people that can be affected by an independent spirit or the problems in the world. Some not so young seek self-serving or self-serving lifestyles, seeking material gain, being kind to themselves. Such non-spiritual goals can sidetrack us and could give evidence of independent thinking on our part. So it's another area of concern that we have to watch for and catch it early before it manifests in us. Then there are those that are disgruntled. These are the ones who reject counsel offered by those taking the lead and are quick to criticize or complain to anybody that will listen. There was a Watchtower article in 2002. It was a May 2002 article. The subheading on page 27 is Integrity Leads the Upright Ones. Listen to what it says about these disgruntled ones. Read this way. It says, here and there, the few who may be disgruntled and dissatisfied, who find fault and speak bitterly about the thing, the way things are done, are like a poisonous root that can be spread and poison others who initially were unaffected. Such ones often want more authority or prominence. They stir up rumors that there's injustice or ethnic prejudice or the like in the congregation or on the part of the elders. Their mouth and deed can cause a division in the congregation. Should we not turn a deaf ear to their talk and strive to be spiritual people who contribute to peace and unity in the congregation? So again, another area that independent thinking could become manifest in us if we're not careful. So how do we resist these snares we mentioned of independent thinking? To answer, we'll look at how we can subject ourselves wholeheartedly to Jehovah. In fact, the drama that follows this talk highlights just what's involved in fully accepting Jehovah God's sovereignty. Well, it's probably of no surprise to you that the first thing we need to do to keep clear of this independent thinking is to meditate on God's Word, to take in Bible knowledge daily, to put money in our spiritual bank, as it were, in a spiritual sense. That way, when we need it, when these challenges come up at work and school, we draw on that spiritual bank, don't we? Those scriptures come to mind. Those principles are there in front of us to take a solid stand. We also want to make sure that we don't listen to the voice of strangers. In fact, we want to flee from such individuals. Jesus gave a very apt illustration on this subject at John 10. If you want to turn there with me at verses 4 and 5. Now, speaking of a shepherd, he builds this illustration. And notice the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. John 10, verse 4 reads this way. It says, when he has got all his out, speaking of the sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will by no means follow, but will flee from before him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So imagine it for a moment. You're out in the country, and you see this large flock of sheep in the field. And there's a quaint little shepherd guiding them. He walks in amongst the flock, and he says, here, sheep, 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 or however it is that a shepherd would call them. And the sheep come to him. They walk right up to him. They rub their heads against him. He can care for them and feed them and groom them and water them. He's been doing that for decades. They've probably known that shepherd since he was a mere boy. So they have a relationship with him. But off in the corner, around the corner, there's an individual, an evildoer, and he's hungry. You know what would be on his plate this evening if he had his way? Lamb chops. So he's watching those sheep, and he says, wow, look at those docile little sheep. Easy picking. So the shepherd leaves and he goes to town to get supplies, and here comes this evildoer, the hungry evildoer. He walks down in the sheep and he says, "Here, sheep, sheep, sheep." But he doesn't get the same reply. They look at him and they scatter. They don't recognize his voice. They don't recognize him. He hasn't fed them. He hasn't done anything for them in the past. They see him as a threat. Their perception, their discernment saves their lives. And there was no lamb on the dinner table this evening because of that. How wise on their part. So you and I need to be the same way. We recognize and we yield to direction from the faithful and discreet slave. We know we've been in the truth for years. They always give us what's needed at the proper time. We don't ever lean on our own understanding. We know we're sinful. We're imperfect. If we reason on something long enough, we could probably talk ourselves into just about anything. So we need that guidance and that direction. And we can count on it. We imitate the submissive attitude of Jesus Christ's disciples. If you will, open up your Bibles to the book of John, paying attention to the 6th chapter. On this one occasion, Jesus had introduced a new thought, a thought difficult to understand. Now, they should have known Jesus as a teacher of accurate thoughts from his Father Jehovah. But yet some had such a hard time understanding this new concept that it stumbled some. In fact, look at verse 66 of John 6. It says, "Owing to this, many of his disciples went off to the things behind and would no longer walk with him." So some were so offended that they said, "Whoa, wait a minute. This is strange. This is too complex for me to understand." They were repulsed by it and they left. His own disciples, some. But then follow along on 67, it says, "Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, 'You do not want to go also, do you?' Simon Peter responds, he answered him saying, 'Lord, whom shall we go away to? You have sayings of everlasting life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" So that's the way we want to be. If we don't fully appreciate or understand something, we wait, we research, we get further direction, and we trust that Jehovah will give us what we need at the proper time through His visible channel. Well, the other big challenge for us as Christians today is being counseled. How do we handle it if an elder comes up to us and says, "Brother or sister so-and-so, we'd like to talk to you. We've noticed this about you," or "how about this? We've noticed this about your child." Well, does Mama Bear kick in and bow up and, "No, don't you talk about..." No, we don't get that way, do we? We don't want to put on our defensive armor, as it were. We recognize that counsel as being beneficial for us. Look at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. It gives us an excellent viewpoint to imitate when counseled. 5:12 of Thessalonians, that's 1 Thessalonians, says, "Now we request you, brothers, to have regard for those who are working hard among you and presiding over you in the Lord and admonishing you, and to give them more than extraordinary consideration and love because of their work." Then it closes with the words, "Be peaceable with one another." So no, we're not going to get aggravated or put out somehow because a brother was loving and kind enough and courageous enough, frankly, to come in and offer encouragement or counsel to us. We would take that counsel and view them as diligent brothers keeping watch over God's people. Well, today's drama deals with issues such as this. Issues like independent thinking, materialism, and accepting counsel. In fact, it well illustrates the need for all of us to submit to Jehovah's authority and to avoid independent thinking. The book of 1 Kings records the misdeeds of King Jeroboam. Fearing that the people would revolt and follow Rehoboam, he decided to appoint his own priest. He also erected local altars where nobody would have to go back to Jerusalem to worship Jehovah. It went so far that he even promoted calf worship. Now, for just a moment, put yourself with your imagination back in Jeroboam's day, how would you have responded? Would you have had discernment and fortitude necessary to reject Jeroboam's apostasy? All the heads are nodding, sure I would. But now wait a minute, it's easy to sit here today and think that way, but would you have caved in? Remember, the king himself made these changes. And those false priests back then were very, very influential. Yet faithful ones knew Jehovah's law and recognized those changes as being outright false worship. Yes, they saw it as apostasy. Well, as you give your attention to the drama, note the independent thinking, or conversely, the submission of three distinct characters in the drama. The first is one of two brothers, Jehoiada. Note his loyalty as he displays knowledge based on God's word, and especially for the respect he had for Jehovah's arrangement of the Levitical priesthood. Now, he's got a brother called Nabai. And you're going to shake your head and say, Nabai, Nabai, Nabai. What is wrong with you? You'll ask yourself, why is he so eager to stay behind in Bethel rather than to travel to Jerusalem to worship Jehovah God properly? Seems like he'll find an excuse for just about anything. Then the third character is Jaden the prophet. Now you'll note with Jaden that while seemingly faithful, he stumbles. In fact, he suddenly begins to lean at one point on his own understanding. Well, the following presentation will equip all to resist independent thinking and to humbly submit to Jehovah God. It is entitled, To Whose Authority Do You Submit?